Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia.
James Beattie, oh, belter!
That ain't been a hat-trick! That's an unbelievable hat-trick for Sadio Mane!
Shane Long takes Southampton to Wembley!
Graziano Pelle with a left-foot strike!
Ball pass lifts it, and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milton. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on InThatNumberPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
/ in that number.
Let's march on in.
Welcome along to another episode of In That Number. A very special milestone today. This is episode 200 and the start of our sixth season. So the pre-season is over. Championship kickoff is less than a week away, and today we will be previewing that season and the upcoming match against Sheffield Wednesday. And we'll discuss pre-season, all the transfers, and we'll do the over-under predictions. There's no Moscow Mush today because he has family arrangements, but then I did have a chat with him and I'll get his thoughts and, you know, catch up with him towards the end of this show. But joining me from the off, we welcome back Tim Bazance. Tim, how are you?
Doing pretty well. Enjoying a nice, beautiful summer here in Chicago. It's fantastic. Cubs are up 8 games in a row that they've won, so things are looking good for them. And excited for the season to start.
It's raining here, by the way, in sunny Southampton. But yeah, but I hope you've had a nice rest anyway, Tim. And I hope, you know, with the football coming back next week, you're all raring to go and excited like me.
Yes, I think we're excited to not be a complete shit show. Yeah. I think that's going to be it's going to be at least a little bit better.
No, hold that thought. But yes, anyway, this 200th episode, we have a special occasion and we have a very special guest to give us his latest. So I'd like to welcome in Daily Echo reporter Alfie House. Alfie, this is a massive honour to have you on, and it seems very fitting to gather your expertise for this special episode. And I mean, I understand just how busy you are, so I just want to thank you so much for giving up your precious time for us.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me on the, you know, landmark 200th episode and start of the season. You know, so it's quite an honour for myself. I appreciate that.
Ah, oh, that's nice. So from my point of view, I think it's been quite a slow summer, certainly in terms of player movement. And as a podcast, we've recorded, you know, quite sporadically. But in truth, we're not too different from the team that took the field against Liverpool at the end of May. But I guess as a reporter, the summer for you is just as busy, I guess. There's no real time to rest and the club must keep you on your toes.
Yeah, I was thinking that when you and Tim were saying about how much, you know, nice summer you've had. I can't believe it's already a week away till the season starts, less than, you know. I think obviously going to Turkey with the team, or not, you know, following the team, that was a really good experience, but definitely tiring as well. And like you say, there's so much going on, talking to the owners, talking to Jason Wilcox, just trying to get the insight of what's happening. Yeah, I don't feel at all rested and I don't feel ready for a 46-game season, but here we are.
Do you feel like you need like another week without football at all, just to gather your thoughts and just get,
you know, I was thinking more than a week if possible, really, but yeah, that would do.
And you're gonna go straight back into it and just full time. It's gonna be full time for us from now on, but I mean, yeah, as I say, you must have been a difficult summer, just constantly finding stories and talking about these transfer rumors that keep popping up. I mean, it drives me crazy and I haven't even got to talk about it, so I can imagine what it's like for you.
It's been, like you mentioned, it has been a little bit quiet, hasn't it, to be fair? Like, in terms of, I know there's been a lot going on, but not many people have actually left. I think only two or three players have departed. Lianco was meant to be one of them, and that happened. And I thought they'd be a little bit further along than where they are now, I must admit.
Yeah, I think if you look at last season, beginning of last season, everything was going on. And considering the manager change, which took an age to come in anyway, and Jason Wilcox coming in as well, we're a week away and we're still not there. But I do want to talk about the news just ever so quickly before we get going. There's been some fixture changes which haven't, well, I mean, Twitter didn't take to it very well. And there's the Sunderland one, that the 640-mile round trip has been moved to a Saturday lunchtime kickoff. Very early start for the travelling fans. And as I say, Twitter, absolute berserk for the news. And they changed the Home Park one as well, because that was moved to a lunchtime kickoff. And it just seems that Sky are punishing Saints fans here, and I don't know why they're doing it.
I think the problem is that Sunderland, for the first time in a long time, are going to be one of the favourites in the league, one of the biggest clubs in the division. And unfortunately, as reporters and fans, we're going to pay the price for that. I mean, Sunderland at 12:30 is an absolute joke. And not only that, it's the day after transfer deadline day as well. So it's going to be a long one. I'm hoping to, this is the luxury of life, I'm hoping to go on the Thursday, spend deadline day in Sunderland reporting, so I'm not having to travel, and then I'll already be there for Saturday morning, similar to how I did Newcastle back in January.
That sounds perfect. Tim, third kit has been launched. What's your opinions on that one?
Beautiful. Definitely a fan. I think third kit, you want to be able to give yourself a little bit of, well, obviously the opposite of the red and the white, and then the pure white. So you had to go with something completely different, with in black and then the highlighted yellow. All in all, big fan. I think I'll be getting it towards the end of the season when it comes, the price comes lower down.
I like it. It's my favorite of the three. And I haven't actually bought one yet this season because I'm not a fan of the home one, but I like the bird. And I think I'll be getting that one. Alfie, do you like the kits at all?
I do like the kits, to be fair. I know that obviously the home kit is divided opinion, but it's a nice little nod to, I think, it was 88, something like that.
Yeah.
The away one's a little bit bland, I think. Like, you know, it's fine. It's a white kit. It's nothing special, but I totally agree with both of you. I think the third's a nice one. The only thing that I feel for the club is that they cannot go a kit release without leaking it somehow. There's always somebody who leaks it. It's been 2 or 3 years in a row now. All kits, yeah, all the time.
Yeah, I think it's with social media now, it's impossible to keep quiet, isn't it? People always always post things and stuff. But yeah, open training session, that is on Wednesday the 16th of August. Doors open at 11 a.m. I think tickets are still available, but they are going pretty quickly. I shall be going to that one. So yeah, if you want to go, get your tickets from the website now. And I want to say as well, the ex-Saints that are on the move, but we've seen Nathan Redmond go to Burnley. We've seen Oriol Romeu back at Barcelona, and he played yesterday. I think he hit the crossbar with a shot. I saw it on Twitter this morning. I thought that was amazing. We've also seen Elianusi's gone to FC Copenhagen. But any of those a shock to you, Alfie?
Well, I think Oriol Romeu to Barcelona is obviously a shock. It's a move that, you know, I'm really, really pleased about, and he absolutely deserves it, coming from the Barcelona academy and probably not being quite good enough to make an impact there, you know, before coming to Chelsea in England. But he moved to Girona because he wanted to go back home. You know, I think it was catastrophic for Southampton, for being honest. I think it's probably one of the top three reasons why they're relegated. But yeah, really pleased for him. And it was against Real Madrid yesterday, wasn't it? They're playing Real Madrid.
Yeah. El Clasico, yeah. Incredible.
Yeah, incredible.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, but it's good to see Nathan Redmond have another go at Premier League as well.
I like Nathan Redmond. I think he's a good player, I must admit. I know he divided opinion last season. And the other one, Elianusi, I actually feel that Elianusi sort of stepped into the Redmond role. And I don't mean on the pitch. I mean in terms of getting lambasted occasionally by supporters. But I actually think the Redmond, he's a really good guy. He's a decent player. And I'm not too surprised he's back in the Premier League.
Yeah, I wish them all well. I just want to quickly go over the women and the under 21. So the women, 3-1 win over Nottingham Forest from 1-0 down. Turned it around in style with 2 goals from Ella Morris and then Lucia Kendall. And there was a trialist who also scored. And 2 more signings for Marianne Spacey-Cadd. They've got former Chelsea Academy graduate Molly Pike. She joins following her exit from Leicester. And another former Leicester player, Gemma Purfield. 2 experienced Super League players added there, so that would be good. And there's been a change to their schedule because they were supposed to be playing Oxford United on Wednesday. However, that was cancelled, and now they're playing Crystal Palace at Staplewood, and that is Sunday, today, at 2 o'clock. And then they've got Wolves on Thursday the 3rd. The under-21s, 3 more games from them. They had a 4-0 loss at home to Leyton Orient, followed by a 5-0 defeat in Weymouth, and then a trip to Torquay on Saturday, and an impressive 3-1 win at Plainmoor, so that was good. And there's been some changes to the under-21s. Obviously, Dave Horseman's departed, and he's taken up the manager's role at Forest Green. That's a good step up for him. And there's a format change as well.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a bit more communication from the club on that in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, Premier League 2 is changing, isn't it, to what they call a Swiss style model. So I think that's
right,
what,
yeah,
20 clubs in the league and you only play 14 of them or something like that.
Yeah, from what I read, so the divisions were going into merging into a league of 25. No more relegations or promotions, obviously, and teams will be put in pots of 5 based on your seedings from last season. And you'll play all the games against your 5 and an additional 4 or 5 from the other pots. So you'll play 20 games and a playoff at the end of the season, which, you know, the top 16 and knockout. And then you crown the champion. So that's very, very exciting.
It's all too confusing for me, that, Ray, I must admit. But I do like the idea of a playoff at the end of the season. That does sound interesting.
It's very American.
It is.
Yes.
Absolutely. The playoffs, when you described it, I was like, very, the table system, that's, you know, that's very English. Nope. Then playoff, that is definitely American.
Yeah. bit of both, but yeah. Right. Okay, so Alfie, the transfer window then. I'll go for the arrivals first. We've got Derek Abou on a free from Chelsea, Josh McNamara from Man City, Ryan Manning also a free from Swansea, and Shea Charles from Man City. Departures, Dan Lundalou to Bolton, Mislav Orsic to Trabzonspor, and Ibrahima Diallo to Al Duhal in Saudi. But Derek Abou, Josh McNamara, they'll be playing for the under-21s. But what do you make of Ryan Manning and Shea Charles? What do you make of those transfers? Because, I mean, Manning seems a good fit, doesn't he? And free under a manager that he knows well. But Shea Charles, another experiment with Man City youth?
Yeah, I think, well, let's start with Ryan Manning then. I mean, that's a no-brainer, isn't it, really? To get the best fullback in the Championship potentially last season. One of them played for Russell Martin, knows how he wants to play on a free transfer. It's, you know, actually, I was on Radio Solent, I think, 2 months ago, and I said that if they don't sign Ryan Manning, and this wasn't with any inside information, but I said if they don't sign Ryan Manning, I'll be very, very surprised, because it made complete sense. And I was very lucky when I was out in Turkey. I spoke to Ryan, actually, after the game against Göztepe for a long time, and he's a really nice guy, really intelligent. He makes decisions based on long-term thinking. When he was 17 years old, he rejected a chance to move to Ipswich in favour of staying in Ireland and finishing his school studies. And then a couple of years later, when he joined QPR, he had interest from higher Premier League clubs as well, Harry Redknapp revealed. But he chose QPR because he thought he'd have more chance of getting in the team. You know, this season, he clearly could have had a Premier League move if he waited a few more weeks, a few more months. But he's decided to come and link up with his former manager, play in a team where he will be, you know, the starting left back and hopefully get promoted first time of our season. So I think it's a really good sign. I think it's one that the supporters can be excited about, and I like him. And yeah, I mean, Shea Charles is interesting, isn't it? Because it's obviously the Jason Wilcox factor there, isn't it? You know, and
yeah.
Look how good Romeo Lavia was. And I think we've seen Shea in the first few games. He's obviously not the finished package, but in his defence, he's been playing in centre-back, which is not what he or Russell Martin wants him to do. You know, they want him to play as defensive midfielder. The emergence of Will Smallbone may actually change that slightly, to be fair, because he likes Will in that holding role. But I think until Ward-Prowse leaves, maybe that's when Charles and Will play together. But yeah, I think they're two good signings. Shea's obviously a lot of money, but based on the City prospects we've had already, it could well be a good one.
Absolutely, yeah. And that was my next question, actually. He's been utilised as a centre-back in pre-season. And I don't know if that is just fitting in with the absences of Salisu Chiletsar. But do you expect him to move into that midfield role once Prowse and Lavia, once their future is concerned?
Yeah, when I asked Russell in Turkey, he said that, you know, he's not going to be playing centre back. We bought him as a defensive midfielder, and then I asked Shea himself, and Shea said, yeah, you know, it's been clear, as we've spoken about it, he'll be a defensive midfielder. That's my position. That's where I want to play. I do agree with you. I think it's just because of Bednarek and Salisu not being available, but that might change. That might change.
Yeah, Tim, and we saw him play centre-back yesterday. And well, not just that, I think he played centre-back against Bournemouth as well. And he looked quite comfortable on the ball. And that's exactly how Russell Martin wants to play, isn't he? He wants to play out from the back. And Shea Charles looks comfortable for the age that he is.
Yeah, that's my interpretation, is that, one, they wanted to get him minutes and that trying to tinker with and manage the center midfield with Smallbone and with Ward-Prowse and then Lavia a little bit pushing forward. But to me, I don't think we have one of those center backs that can play the ball like Shea Charles can. So I think getting him minutes there, and regardless if that's where he wants to end up, because I feel like in the first interview he said he was going to be a center midfielder or in that CDM role. So all in all, it's just kind of tricky to me, but I think it's good to get him minutes and good to see that he'll be on the field. And I think he'll be on the field for in whatever position a lot going for the rest of the season.
He's also scored as well, hasn't he, already?
Beautiful header. Beautiful.
That is a surprise off the mark already. In terms of departures then, so Ndoulou and Chalky have spent most of their careers on loan anyway. Seeing them go permanent was no real surprise. Orsic, you know, his ordeal is over. Again, no real surprise there. Did you ever talk to Orsic? Did you ever get what's going on there?
No, we didn't, unfortunately. It would have been interesting, wouldn't it? Because nobody really knows. Unfortunately, with Ruben Selles as the manager, you never got a straight answer, so we never really found out. But he's obviously done his ACL for Trabzonspor, which I feel for him, because that's
horrible,
6 months out. Yeah, it's not ideal.
It's just had a really, really bad year, I suppose. Yeah. But how did you feel about the transfer of Diallo? Was that a surprise? I mean, I guess we have to trim the squad down. I mean, everyone's been saying that we're bloated, but, you know, Diallo going, the first real first team player, I guess, to be out the door. Experiment didn't really work with him.
No, I'm not going to question your East Asian geography, Ray, but it's in Qatar, not in Saudi. Audi,
right? Oh, really?
I did not realise
that. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was in Saudi. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Well, everyone's going there, aren't they? So it wouldn't have been a shock. But no, it's not a surprise for me, and I don't think for many supporters either. I'm not sure what you think, Ray, but he clearly hasn't developed how they'd have hoped. You know, I remember watching him 2 or 3 years ago, actually before I was covering Southampton, and thinking, you know, he's a sort of a future France midfielder there. It may have been in lockdown where he was really good. I can't quite remember. It was certainly during COVID season. But he hasn't developed, and like you say, the squad's too big. If they can get rid of, you know, him and a few others like that, they'll be really happy.
Yeah, when he first signed, we had where did he come? He came from Brest.
He was from Stade Brest. Yeah,
he was
from Monaco Academy as a youngster.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, when we had a French reporter come on, and he was just saying how amazing he's going to be in the next 5 years, and if we can keep hold of him. And we were talking then, you know, that this could be a transfer that we end up getting rid of him to something like Liverpool or Chelsea in a few years' time. And I think we said the same with Salisu as well. But everyone was so high on Diallo when we signed him. And it just hasn't really worked out. Incomings, the latest. I want the inside scoop. I mean, what's the latest in terms of incomings? Because before Russell Martin and Jason Wilcox were officially announced, that there was plenty of talk of Matt Grimes coming in, and you know, that seems to have died. I mean, I don't know if it's because our relationship with Swansea seems a little bit tarnished now. But yeah, most stories I'm hearing, they're more departures rather than incomings. But what's the latest?
Well, in terms of what's already been out in the media, like, you're absolutely right, because I think since Ryan Manning, there hasn't really been a really solid link. I think we've had, you know, Hamza Chowdhury, then Shea Charles. Then we've had, you know, Deanne Garner, Flynn Downs, Ahmed Diallo, Mason Holgate. Zach Orr now obviously is allegedly joining the club, but he's a young player. Yeah, I don't think the incoming is going to be too big at the moment because the squad is too big and they need to get rid of players. You know, and when I was speaking to Jason on Thursday, he said the same thing, and Russell's been saying it for weeks as well. So I'm hoping that they can get rid of a couple more. The incomes will start to come in. But unfortunately, I've got nothing on the inside track to give you. That being said, by the time this goes out, I'm sure they've announced two signings that I didn't know about.
Yes, probably.
I guess my curiosity is, you know, what are the positions of deficiencies that we feel might be done? But with all of the players that we have, I feel like outgoings are much more of the talk necessary for the end of the signing window.
Well, I would like a centre back and a striker if I was choosing. And I think, you know, Zach Orr from Arsenal is this centre back. He's obviously only 19 years old, and so I'd have liked to see somebody of a bit more experience, somebody who's perhaps played in the league and you know, knows what they're doing. I would like a striker, but I don't know if that's going to be something that's on the menu. Obviously, we've seen loads of links to Joel Perreault, haven't we? But they've got Che Adams on the books. They've still got Adam Armstrong, Sekou Mara. You know, in an ideal world for me, maybe I would move Che Adams on to a Premier League club for 10 million quid, maybe loan Sekou Mara or just keep him in the squad and sign Joel Perreault for 20 million and guarantee yourself 15, 20 goals in the Championship.
What about Don Ballard? What's the latest on him? Why wasn't he involved? I mean, he's been playing for the under-21s. Why wasn't he involved in any of these pre-season games?
I think he'd have gone to Turkey, but he had a minor injury, basically. So he missed out for injury, same as Samadozi, and therefore was set back a little bit. So, yeah, I think that was just an unfortunate bit of timing for him. But like you say, he played against Torquay. I think his first game back, potentially, it may have played against Weymouth as well. But yeah, he just missed out for injury. Yeah.
Do you expect him to make a jump this season in the Championship, or do you think he's just going to play most of his games in under 20?
Well, to be honest, given that he hasn't featured at all in pre-season, it's hard to say that, isn't it? You know, I know Kamari Doyle sort of impressed Russell as well, but right now it seems like Sam Amoamayor is the one that's probably going to make the jump. And I think when you're playing as a wide player, it's a little bit easier as well because, you know, the role's a bit more defined. You know, Russell Martin's football is not easy anywhere, but as, you know, as a striker, Ballard would have to be able to you know, battle physically with all the opponents. I think he's probably not quite ready for that yet. I would like to see him maybe go out on loan to League One and score a hatful of goals.
Mm. Well, maybe he could be playing against Gillingham, who knows?
Yeah, he might well do.
Departures then, and then the talk all summer has been on Prowsey, and it's not relenting. Every time I you know, look at transfer news, it's all about James Ward-Prowse. West Ham firmly in control there, they say. What's the latest there? Because I think Jason Wilcox has said that we have turned down an offer from West Ham. Is that the latest?
Yeah, Jason told us that on Thursday. They rejected an opening offer from West Ham, and that wasn't a surprise. You know, when the report of the offer came out, I sort of spoke to the club a little bit and tried to get some information, and they were very clear that a bid of 25 million wouldn't be entertained, let alone what emerged as apparently 20 million, if you listen to Sky Sports. Mm-hmm. So James Ward-Prowse, Russell said yesterday that, completely unprovoked, that, you know, he doesn't know what the team's going to look like next Friday because he didn't know what's going to happen, let alone in 4 weeks' time when the window actually shuts. I mean, almost certainly Romeo Lavia will leave. I'd be very surprised if that didn't happen. Ward-Prowse will probably leave, but I can't guarantee that. I would love him to stay. I really would. Mm. And Livermento, I think, you know, Livermento, Newcastle tried a really, really aggressive approach with their reporting. You know, I think they gave some information to reporters. It seems that things were closer than they were, but they never were. They never were close on that valuation. You know, Southampton want 40 million. He's contracted for another 3 or 4 years. Why wouldn't they? So Livermento wouldn't surprise me if he stayed.
Oh, wow, that's good, because I've got him probably leaving as well. What's it going to take for West Ham?
It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, unfortunately. That's something that Jason would have to say, and he's not willing to answer that kind of question, which is fair enough. But I'd like to think that it would be 30 million at least, because Ward-Prowse is worth that. You know, I think If you look at the stats over the last 3 years, a lot of fans, you know, are divided on Ward-Prowse. I think most people really understand, but he, you know, he's scored more goals over the last 3 years than anybody. He's got more assists. He's made more forward passes, critically. He's made more tackles, more blocks, created more chances. You know, every metric that you could think of in football, apart from goalkeeping, Ward-Prowse is top for Southampton over the last 3 years.
It's amazing, isn't it, when you look at that all together and you see West Ham fans saying that he's not worth 30 million because you're not going to buy a player in just for free kicks, but he does a lot more than that, and they don't see it. The amount of minutes he gives you, relentless on the field. And yeah, I think his right foot alone is worth 30 million.
I agree.
But yeah, the bid for Lavia, I've heard that it's around 37 million that's been rejected. That's a big amount of money from Liverpool. But now I'm hearing they're preparing an improved second bid.
Yeah, I don't know what the exact figures are, but I saw somebody tweeting that I think the highest ever transfer from a Championship player is something like 42 million. If I'm right, and they, you know,
it's
Southampton.
Nathan
right?
Ake.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep. From Bournemouth to Manchester City for 40.
Okay, and Southampton are in a position where they can reject £37 million offers. It was one of the first things I said to Jason. Well, you know, you must feel very lucky that the owners, for all of their mistakes last season, they are in a position where they can tell Jason and Russell that, yeah, don't worry about it. £37 million, we'll hold out for more. And I think that's brilliant.
That's
for Southampton fans.
Yeah, yeah. We got Dio Chaletsar. He apparently was in advanced talks with Lyon. I don't know what's going on there. And Monaco set to sign Salisu. It looks like £17 million, and he could be completing his medical.
The Athletic reported that it was happening then. I think Sky Sports reported that it was £17 million, but L'Equipe in France have since reported that it's only £12.5 million. So a few different
discrepancies,
things on there, yeah. Salisu, almost certainly. Yep, Salisu is probably going to happen. Chaletsar, I'm not 100% sure, to be honest. He obviously hasn't featured much in pre-season, but you know, Russell said that's because his wife has been giving birth in Croatia, so he's given him a couple of weeks off to go. But yeah, I'd probably anticipate that both of those players will leave. And that's why I think centre-back is so important.
Absolutely, yeah. But aside from the best players from last season, so James Ward-Prowse and Romeo Lavia, there's some really, really important players that, you know, that have been expected to leave also, like Kyle Walker-Peters, Armel Bellacott-Chap, Romain Perreault, Che Adams, don't know, Sulemana, that seems to have gone down, Alcaraz, the Alcaraz stories just seem to be popping up every couple of days and then dropping, and then another one comes up. But what's the latest from all of these, like the big key players that we've got in this squad? Is any more of them expected to leave?
Well, something funny that Jason said was that, you know, some players in the squad have got a Premier League market and some players in the squad think they've got a Premier League market. Mm. And obviously, he didn't name names, but what the insinuation there is there are players in the squad that think Premier League clubs want them, but actually they don't. And at this point, you know, we haven't had any real solid information on, like you say, Sulemana bid, a Kyle Walker-Peters bid. I can't remember exactly who else you named.
Bellacott-Chap,
yeah, you know, and we haven't seen Bellacott-Chap, have we, in pre-season?
No.
So it makes me think that he'll probably leave. But again, if that market's not there, then no one's going to buy them. I think that, you know, I'd be very surprised if someone like Walker-Peters was still here by the end of September, for sure. I think Alcaraz will still be here. You know, everything that we've heard about Alcaraz is that he's pretty happy here. You know, of course, other teams are interested in him, because why wouldn't you be? He's so direct, he's so dangerous. But yeah, I think Kamal Dean as well. You know, he has been injured, to be fair, but it would surprise me if he was still here. And I think that's a massive shame for the club, because you spend £25 million, you break your transfer record, you know, you get a new manager in, he benches him for 80% of your relegation battle for some reason. I don't know why. Mm. And then he leaves in the summer. It's a shame.
Yeah, I want to keep hold of him. I mean, I want to keep hold of all those players. Keep
hold of all those players, you'll win the league, I think.
Yeah.
So there, you could either be playing with house money and you can just keep everybody and hope and see what sticks. But at what point, I guess the question is, I know they say, and Wilcox said, it doesn't matter. Like, we can sell people when we need to, but is there a point truly that we do actually have to sell people? I'm just really curious. Like, what's that? Is there like a money mark that they need to say, okay, we know we're going to sell Lavia and we're going to need to get like 50, we need to get 50 million back. Is there like a hard amount that they're saying, you know what, we have to get to this level? I'm just curious to see if there's a money mark or if it's a people mark or anything on their end.
Yeah, it's a really good question. They do need to raise some money. You know, financial fair play is a lot stricter in the Championship, isn't it? And they are going to need to raise some funds. But I don't think that's going to be a problem, just because Lavia is going to go for 50. Salas is going to go for, you know, let's say 12, 15. You know, Che Adams might well go for 10. Like Hamel Dean, if he goes, will be at least 20. So I don't think there's going to be a situation where they don't raise enough money financially. So that's why I think Jason's in a unique position where he's able to reject these offers, because the funds are going to come in inevitably and invariably. I think the personnel bit you mentioned secondly, the people bit is the more probably the more pressing bit, because you don't want to go into another season where you've got 28, 29 players. But Russell still wants some more players. Jason will still want some more players. So the only way you can do that is by selling, so you can actually, you know, replace those bodies and not end up with 30 players like Ruben Sellers had and have an absolute nightmare. So, yeah, I think the more important bit about getting some of these players out is the actual losing the body and being able to replace. That's why someone like Paul Onuachu, for example, you know, I feel that the club should probably accept the loss on him. I know they spent 18 million quid or whatever, but
on the bench, if you can just get rid of surprisingly.
Him. Yeah, on the bench, we didn't get off the bench, which I thought was quite telling.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, so I'm going to read out a player, and I want you to give me a yes or a no, in your opinion, or whether they'll still be here by the end of the window. Tim,
God.
you can join in on this as well, Tim. I want to hear yours. So just a simple yes or no, by the end of the window, not by the end of the week. So James Ward-Prowse.
No.
Yes, because it happened in my dreams.
I like that, too. I hope you're right.
Yeah. Romeo Lavia.
No.
No.
Tino Livramento.
Yes.
Yes.
Kyle Walker-Peters.
No.
No.
Jay Adams.
Ooh, no. Ooh. But maybe yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Roman Perreault.
Yes.
Yes, because of injury. I don't think he'll be recovered enough.
Agreed.
But then he's going to be back up to bloody Manning now, though, isn't he?
Good option.
Definitely.
Lario should go out on loan. He should go out on loan to get some experience. If he's healthy enough before the B team, otherwise he'll have to play for the B team.
Yeah. Sure. Stuart Armstrong.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
I really hope he stays. Sulemana.
Again, unfortunately.
Yeah. Again. Yeah. Sulemana.
Probably not, to be honest.
No, he hasn't played all preseason.
He has been injured though, Tim. Allegedly.
Salisu.
No.
No.
Alcaraz.
Yes.
Yes.
Bella Kotchap.
No.
No.
Okay, the last one. I really hope this is he's going to still be here, but I'm unsure now. But Nathan Teller.
Yes.
Oh, good.
No.
See, you said that really convincingly, Alfie. It means like you might have some information.
I'm happy to get to the end. That's all, Ray. I think that the messages all along, and you know, I said this about a month ago, has been that Burnley are not willing to pay 15 or 20 million for him. They're not willing to pay 15 million for Taylor Howard-Vellis, who was like one of their best players last season, really big centre back. So I can't see it happening. And
17, 18 goals he scored last season. It was the reason they got to where they were. I just
certainly one of them. Yeah,
you're taking that out, and you know you're going to need those players in the big time. Something's telling me that they're gonna put in an improved bid, an acceptable bid.
Yeah, and then Saints could let it go. Yeah, it depends on it. You can't lose Camaldine Teller and Camaldine and Teller. They can't lose both of them really, unless they replace him obviously with Jopera, and then they will.
But I mean, I'm taking your positivity there. You said yes straight away, so
I'm just hoping that nobody clips this up, and I've gotten literally 90% wrong by the end of September. But there we go.
Well, we'll find out. But yeah. Anyway, pre-season then. So we played those five games. Benfica lost 2-0. Gustave drew 1-1. 4-2 win over Reading. 3-2 loss to Bournemouth, and a 1-0 loss to AZ Alkmaar. One of the main things I was looking forward to in this pre-season was watching what Russell Martin would be doing, really, and it seems the possession-based style is real, and but there does seem to be a real aggressive pressing off the ball as well, which I'm pleased to see. And I would like to be pushing on with the ball a little bit more. But what have you made of Russell Martin's style for us?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things he said in the first club interview was that, or maybe it was in Turkey actually, he said that although he's going to bring his style, this sort of possession-based system, he has very different players here than he did at Swansea, and therefore he was still going to keep these high elements of the press that they've been learning for sort of 3 or 4 years in a row. It is different. It's slightly evolved, but I really like it. You know, I was a bit nervous about it at first because I didn't play football to a good level. Um, I you know, this whole, you know, the triangles and stuff like that. I couldn't pull that off. But what I could pull off on a pitch was somebody whipping in a ball and me being able to head it. You know, I was a goalkeeper. I'm 6'4" tall. So football to me has always been quite vertical, should we say.
Tim's a keeper as well.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Goalkeeper union. What about you, Ray? Where did you play?
Centre back.
There you go.
I just used to kick people and hoof the ball out. And I
exactly, and that was what football was to me. So when you had this idea of Russell Martin, you know, coming in and playing this sort of tippy-tappy, he's inspired by Barcelona, inspired by Man City, but he hasn't got the players as good as Barcelona and Man City. I was a bit worried that it was going to be boring and slow. And I think there will be elements of a long build-up. But to the contrary, I really enjoyed what we saw in pre-season. I thought against AZ Alkmaar, they were really defensively solid. We saw a different performance. I think against Reading, it was electric. I know it was a Ruben Selles side in League One struggling, but you could really see what they were trying to do. So, yeah, I'm positive about it, I must admit.
So I think there's progression, but I'm still in that hesitation, which is why I really just was blanking on what to actually talk about, because I don't want to get my hopes up. Because once you start getting your hopes up, you start believing in things. And once you start believing in things, you actually, you know, you're going to will it to win. And you're going to think that you're going to get promoted. But by that point in time, you're completely at a loss and saying, well, why are we in 10th? Why are we not being able to score? And it just,
don't start panicking.
Yes. I don't want to dive right in and say, oh, we're going to be able to do this, because the optimist in me says yes. But otherwise, I really just want to take it back, say, okay, we had some good progression through the preseason. There's definitely some learning curve, some kinks that we'll need to get out. We need to find the right players, and let's just hope for the best.
I do think, Tim, that your predictions last season were pretty much bang on, and you did predict Saints to finish 19th, however, but you said relegation. Whatever they do this year, I'm just going to take it on what you've said, because you've been pretty good with it before.
Fifth is
your top, but yeah. Alfie, it seems I'm going to bring this up. I don't like to talk about this as much, but our goalkeeping problems have been going on forever. Both Alex McCarthy and Gavin Bazunu, they've been shaky again, and I mean, I did say it's been before the Alkmaar game that it's been hard to judge where Martin's heading with it, because he's been swapping them out each game, which is what we expected. Bazunu's had 270 minutes and McCarthy's had 180. And I should add that McCarthy wasn't even included in Saturday's game against RZ. But what have you made of the duo?
Like I say, you don't want to sort of overly criticise a young man, but definitely I'm not that confident with the pairing that they've got. You know, I think that McCarthy is proven that he probably isn't the man for the job. You know, I think that his shot stopping is just not quite good enough. And adding to that, his distribution at the feet is nowhere near the standard, which is, you know, but I'm sure that the club would, if they could, take a good offer for him and move him on and get somebody else in. But Gavin Bazunu is somebody, you know, he's obviously 21 years old. Like he's excelled in League One. He was really, really poor in the Premier League in his first season in what was a really, really poor defence as well. So he didn't have much protection. But you've seen a couple of times against pre-season already, haven't we, where the goals have gone through them a little bit. And I didn't think that Bazunu could have done anything about yesterday's, if I'm being honest. I thought he actually played quite well.
It wasn't yesterday so much. It was that fourth, the second goal against Reading.
Yeah. And I think that, you'd like someone else, wouldn't you? Probably like another goalkeeper. But I'm hoping that the League One to the Championship is a much more natural step up than the Premier League was. But it's certainly a problem position. I'm not sure if Russell Martin would like to add a goalkeeper or not.
It's a confidence thing as well with Bazunu. Mm. His confidence after last season must be shot, and then pre-season hasn't been great again. I just fear for him a little bit. But
one thing I will say about Bazunu, sorry to cut you off, is that Bazunu, whenever I talk to him after games and stuff, I don't know if it's just a front or an act, but he always strikes me as somebody who is incredibly level-headed and remarkably balanced for somebody who is only 20, 21 years old. So I don't know if he's got that in his favour, that actually sort of mentality-wise, he's actually quite strong. And that is something that all of his former coaches said about him as well. So we just have to hope that is true.
I hope so, because it must be so difficult for a 21-year-old to face what he's facing, especially with the Saints fans, as they are sometimes. But gun to your head, guys, who starts at Hillsborough?
Bazunu, for sure.
Tim? Bazunu, easy.
Yeah.
So in general, then, over the five games, we've had 3 losses, 1 draw and a win. And I thought some of it looked encouraging. I really did like the way we played on Saturday night, actually. I thought it was good, and didn't deserve to lose that game. Probably should have had a penalty as well. One thing to be encouraged about was the inclusion of the younger players. You mentioned Sam Amiyar. He's won some fans for sure. And we have seen bits of a dozy. We you know, it's great to have Teller back. Smallbone, he's played well. Stevens back again. They've all slotted in quite well about the minutes in the tank and integrating the new signings and you know, welcoming back last year's loanees and implementing Russell Martin's game plan as well. But do you feel that the positives have outweighed the negatives in pre-season?
I would say that they're pretty balanced. I wouldn't say that there's been overwhelming positives or really overwhelming negatives, to be honest with you. I think that it's been, I think they probably coasted about as well as I thought they would in pre-season. And like you say, the young players is a positive. I think Adam Armstrong's looking good, and that's a positive.
Yes, yeah, he was good yesterday, I thought.
Yeah, but like you say, the negatives are obviously that the goalkeepers haven't been the top form. You know, I think they've conceded too many goals as well, for my liking. Yeah, I think it's been pretty balanced. You can't read into pre-season too much, can you?
No, absolutely not.
So the way I want to think of it is they stopped the free fall. So even though we finished 20th and were worse, what could have happened is the snowball effect where you just kept going downhill and things could have been completely gotten worse. You could have not hired
a appropriate manager. That's not that way for
Bizzunu. Yeah. Well, and I do have a thought on Bizzunu, but to really talk about, they were able to stop the, you know, they were able to stop the slide. And they were able to cut it off and say, all right, so here's our level. Here's where we're at. Financially, we're going to be okay. We are only going to sell players if we absolutely need to. They brought in the manager. They had a plan all the way set through. And they believe that they can, you know, bounce back up. And they absolutely well should be, just like any other team who just recently got relegated. So if you take Burnley as the pattern from last year, what they did is they brought in a Vincent Kompany and were able to bring in some smart signings and then just completely dominated and did really well. I don't think it's going to be nearly that successful, but I think that they were able to stop themselves so well that they didn't bottom out. And for us, I think that's the biggest positive, which doesn't appear as a positive.
Everyone seems quite happy. I mean, the manager seems happy. He says he's happy anyway, so that's good. But these upcoming fixtures, and I'm just going through the August one. So on Friday the 4th is Sheffield Wednesday, Tuesday the 8th is Gillingham, Saturday the 12th Norwich, Saturday the 19th is Plymouth, and Saturday the 26th is QPR. It's always difficult at the start of any season to predict how you're going to start, but when you've been relegated, and you know, it's even tougher. So let's ignore that trip to Gillingham for the time being, and I'll ask you, Alfie, how many points are we going to get from those opening four games?
Go through them again. So it's Sheffield Wednesday away, Norwich at home, Plymouth away, QPR
at home. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think they'll get I think they'll get two wins and two draws.
I'll definitely take that. So that's 8 points. Tim?
I'm glad you did the maths.
So I think I do believe that 8 points is the right amount. So if you're able to go in without a loss and for the first four games, especially because that September run-in is really, really, really bad. If you took a look at that, that scares me the most. And that's where I feel like we're going to be able to decide what's going on. Mm-hmm. But if we can go in with a foundation without having a loss in August at 8 points, fantastic.
Good. That's good. I mean, I fear if we lose that opener against Wednesday, it wouldn't be a disaster, but when you were separated by two leagues last season, it wouldn't be the best start for Russell Martin. So I do think that we have to go in there and be you know, absolute nailed on favourites in that Sheffield Wednesday game. And we'll go into Sheffield Wednesday now, Tim and Alfie. Brilliant season for Sheffield Wednesday. They had promotion via League One playoffs, and they lost their head of recruitment. Darren Moore was dismissed along with his backroom staff, and Cisco comes in. There's lots of upheaval, not unlike us. But am I right in thinking that they're going to have a difficult season, Alfie? Because, I mean, the back's against the wall. They've had to face a former Premier League team on opening day. We've got to be heavy favourites, right? Or am I just being too optimistic?
Well, I think we probably will be heavy favourites. But I must admit, I think that Hillsborough, on a Friday night championship opener, there's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere.
Yeah.
It really is going to be an unbelievable game. And I don't think it'll be easy by any means, you know. But you say, I think Sheffield Wednesday and probably Plymouth will both have difficult seasons. I think Ipswich are probably the best equipped to stay up in the Championship this season.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just an uneducated guess. But I think that it'll be a tough game on Friday. And I think I mentioned my 8 points. I think it'll be a draw on Friday. And I'd probably take a draw, to be honest with you. If you can get out of Hillsborough with a point, I would probably say that's fair enough, depending on how you play. As long as you haven't been hammered for 90 minutes, obviously.
God, don't say that. Tim, how are you feeling about Sheffield Wednesday?
So you're right where you're walking in and they're going to be amped up. They're going to believe that they can be able to go into it. So to me, I want at the beginning of the season where everybody's on a level playing field, I want to play the best teams. I don't want to play this team that just came up and has all the momentum to say that they won in a massive, massive playoff win. But now so if you guys did you see the playoffs that they were in last year where they went down 4-0 to Peterborough. Mm-hmm. Then they won 5-1 to win on penalties and then eventually beat Barnsley. So that's fantastic for Darren Moore, but obviously he just got canned. So Sisco comes in. I mean, Darren just missed out to and he was second in Manager of the Year outside of Steven Schumacher, which obviously taking Plymouth up did a really good job. So one thing I do want to highlight is that last year that they had the oldest team by average age in League One. Do you guys know what their average age was?
Go on, tell us, Tim.
It is 29, just 29. Over 29 years old. So where we had 24.6 and tied for lowest with Arsenal last year. So their team is older by average. So to me, I think that's where they're going to struggle and throughout the rest of the season is that if they haven't been able to reload and really get a new, a new recruitment in, that's going to be their downfall. So to me, taking a look at it, that they just come back up for after 2 years, they're going to have momentum on their side. It's going to be a terrible matchup where I wanted to play them two months in. I would be happy with the draw too, but I really want to look good. I just want to look like we have completely dominate the game, even if we take a draw.
I'm worried that if we dominate the game and then get beat like yesterday, because we did dominate possession and we only limited them to two shots, I believe. I think it was one each half, and we ended up losing 1-0 because we just don't have enough going forward at the moment. But yeah, I really hope that isn't the case. But Alfie, starting 11 against Wednesday.
I think Bazunu, Livramento, Manning, Bednarek, Stevens, Smallbone, Ward-Prowse, Alcaraz, Teller, Adosie, Armstrong.
Love it. Tim, any changes on that? Looks like you're going with a 4-2-3-1 there, Alfie.
Yeah, 4-3-3, whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
So I have Bazunu, Livramento. I think he is going to start Shea Charles at the back there alongside Stevens. I think that they're gonna run with him. But Manning, yes. Then Smallbone, JWP, Alcaraz, and then that means that's two more. So from the AZ game, I'll take Adam Armstrong alongside.
You got two more, fans.
Yeah, you got two more. Yeah, you went two holding.
Yeah, it's going to be a Dozy and
Dozy, Adam Armstrong and
Dominic and Teller.
I think it's going to have to be
unless you go Sam.
I'd love Stu, but I think it's going to be Teller.
Yeah, Stu's still injured, isn't he? I don't think he's going to be fit enough for it. See what he does in training this week, but yeah. The season in general, Alfie. I mean, Sport Republic have made it clear they intend to go for automatic promotion straight back to the Premier League.
Yeah.
Russell Martin believes this as well. Lots of fans are still worried about our lack of goal threat. It was a huge problem last year, which is why we find ourselves in the position that we do. We scored 7 goals in pre-season and 4 of those were against a struggling League One side. Do you feel we have the goals in us to take us back up or we're still going to need more?
Well, whether they can be extracted from the players or not is the question, isn't it? But
yeah.
Do we have the goals in us? 100%. Nathan Teller got 17. Sure. Adam Armstrong in his last championship season got 28. Che Adams got, 22 if he's still here. Mm. I think Sammy Adosie, end product. I actually spoke to Sammy yesterday, and I think he wants to improve his end product. Obviously, I think that's what he knows. But he's direct. He's dangerous. Charlie Alcaraz will probably score 10, 12, I reckon. If Ward-Prowse is here, he'll score 10. I think the goals are definitely in the team, 100%. And if they add another striker... It's just finding them, exactly. And I think that will come in time. So Russell Martin said yesterday he doesn't think goals will be a problem. And I actually think I agree. Although I've seen no evidence to the contrary, I think the goals will be fine.
Excellent. I just worry that if things don't go to plan early on, then we could start to panic.
Well, you are right when you mentioned about the whole dominating possession and then losing the game anyway. Because I think Russell Martin's Swansea teams averaged, and they actually averaged over a 50-game season, 65% possession or something like that. And they finished obviously 7th or 8th. And if they go to Sheffield Wednesday and have sort of 65% of the ball, which I think they will, if not more, they lose 1-0, I think fans are going to be a little bit frustrated by that.
Yeah, and I just think they're going to have another panic window like we did in January. If things don't go to plan in August, then I'm just worried that they're going to do that, just going to spend some
I suppose the only difference organisationally there is that obviously Rasmus Ankersen was in charge of the January window. He's taken a complete step back. You know, he's actually chairman of Göteborg now, I think. And you know, Henrik Kraft is still on the ground. He's still the chairman of Swanton Football Club. But obviously Jason Wilcox and Mowbray are in charge of the recruitment. So I'd like to think that, you know, there is a different head in charge. It's not Rasmus.
Yeah. Let's hope they use their heads wisely this time. But yeah. And just the latest odds as well. I mean, I don't know if you know this as well, Tim, but Leicester are favourites with Leeds second and Saints just behind them in third. Do you agree with that?
Yes, 100%.
No, you're not taking a punt on Borough at all by all that?
No, I don't think. I think it's just because everybody who's a Premier League team should be in that. I think Leeds signing Daniel Farke was if they had a different manager, just like a regular manager that didn't have the ability to get promoted twice in the championship, I think they would have been a lot worse. I think Ampadu is their only major signing for the offseason. Tyler Adams is out injured for a while and won't be able to get back. So to me, I would probably put us at second in terms of odds, but that doesn't mean we're actually going to be second. I don't think there's any current championship team that should be above us in terms of the promotion odds.
Leicester are being favourites. You know, they've just lost, they lost Harvey Barnes, they've lost James Maddison, they haven't really bought anything else. They all, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know.
Harry Winks.
Oh, okay. But I mean, he's not going to score your goals, is he?
No, unless something really weird happens.
Yeah, but yeah. Alfie, every guest that we've had on over the summer, we've asked them this question, and I've recorded them all, and lots of us on the Discord channel have had their predictions as well. So I'll ask you, where are Saints finishing this season?
Yeah, it's the ultimate question, isn't it? If I knew the answer, I'd be a very rich man in 9 months' time. I think I'm going to say fourth, but I think they'll win the playoffs, hopefully. I'm going to say fourth.
I don't think I can go through that, Alfie.
I don't think I can hack it. But I think for all the reasons that you and Tim have both said, I think it's going to take a little while. I think that Leicester are in a good position. I think Leicester, although I thought they were shambles a month ago, I actually think they'll probably end up going on doing very well. Leeds have lost all their players, but as Tim mentioned, Daniel Farke factor. I fancy Borough, I fancy Hull City to have a good season this year. That's my dark horse. So I think there's a lot of teams going for it. And I think if you can get... I mean, obviously, only second is the aim. Second is the aim, but yeah, tough.
Today, I want a trophy. I want a trophy.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be very nice, yeah. Right, we're going to wrap it up with just the over-under game. So I'm going to give you a topic and I'm going to give you a number, and both of you are going to tell me if it's over or under. So goals scored. Okay, so how many goals were the score this season? I'm going to give you 60, over or under on 60. Bearing in mind, Burnley scored 87 and last season we only scored 36. So
definitely over for me.
So 60 goals, 46 game season. We're just talking the championship, right?
Yep.
Okay. I'm gonna take over. It'll probably be right around in the 70s.
Okay. Goals against 45.
Well, look, I think Swansea had about pretty much an even goal difference last season, I'm pretty sure. I think they end up scoring like 70, but they also conceded about 65 as well. So I think I'm going to say about 45 over slightly.
Oh, okay. Well, last season we let in 73, but that's Premier League, obviously.
Yeah, that's
and Burnley last season, 35, which is pretty damn impressive. Tim, 45? Over under.
So Swansea last year had 68 scored and 64 against.
Very close. Yeah.
So I said in the 70s, and we're going to get somewhere in the 50s. So it'll be over 45.
Okay. Adam Armstrong goals. Oh God, where do I go with this? It's really difficult. It's difficult because of how we struggled for Saints the last 2 years, and then when he was at Blackburn, he was banging them in. I'm going to say six. I'm going to give you six. Over or under?
Definitely over six.
You reckon?
I thought you were going to say 14 or something.
Oh, God.
I think he'll score at least six for sure.
So, Ray, I was absolutely going to take under if it was something like 10. But when you put it at six, because obviously room for injury, he hasn't had very many injuries the last couple of years. That's the one thing he hasn't had. So, to me, if he's going to be consistently starting where he...
I don't think he will be. I think Russell Martin plays one up top, doesn't he? And I think if Jay's still here, he's going to get the bulk of the games and the bulk of the goals. So that's the reason why I said six. I don't know.
Well, I think Adam Armstrong's ahead of those on the left-hand side if Che starts.
I will take eight goals for him.
Okay. Che Adams, then, 15.
I don't think he's scored any. I don't think he'll be here.
Oh, yeah.
No, under, for sure. Under.
Well, how many goals is he going to score in the Premier League then?
Two.
Tim?
Under.
Oh, under, okay. Nathan Teller. So, as I say, he got 17 last season. He's not going to do that. He's not going to have a season like that. No. So I'm going to say 12 for Nathan Teller.
Under.
If he's here, under. If he's not here, well, obviously under. So definitely under.
Okay.
Nathan Teller's role in preseason, he hasn't actually been getting the ball that much. He hasn't been in the box with the ball all the time.
So. No, and this is what's annoying me, because the Burnley fans that are posting this free Teller stuff, and they're saying that he's never going to have the season, that you're not going to get the best out of him, you're not going to get him on the ball enough, and it's like it's coming true, and it's like, I don't want
this. They might be right.
They are, but yeah. okay, so wins. I know it's difficult because last season we only had, what, six. And so Burnley had 29 wins last season. I'm not sure how many Swansea had. Let's go 20.
Over.
They're going to have just over. Swansea had 18 last season.
Okay. You're going to go over as well, Tim?
Yes, definitely over. So fifth place had 18, but they also had 16 draws. So I'm going to take 21 or 22.
Very close then. Okay. All right, points. So obviously 25 points last season, but take into account the league drop, the extra 8 games. So the average points last year was 62. So I'm going to give you 68.
Over.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely. If they're going to be in the top six, they're going to have over 68.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I think they're going to be seventh.
Okay. Interesting.
I think they're going to miss out on the playoffs by a point. It's going to be that cruel.
Oh, are you always a pessimist, right?
Yeah, of course I am.
I hope so.
So, yeah. So, okay, well, let's because of my pessimism, I'm going to say 75 then. We'll change that. 75.
I'm going to go under on that one, I think, just about.
Okay. Tim?
Fifth place last year was 70 points. So I'm going to take under 75. 75 was Middlesbrough, exactly at fourth place.
So you're going to take under 75. Okay. Well, 68 wasn't that bad, but yeah. Okay, and managers. We had three last season, so I'm going to go over. No, I'm joking. Alfie, yes, that's it. I want to thank you again for giving us your time. I know how busy you are, as I say. But yeah, I look forward to your coverage throughout the season. I always do. I always give it a read. Is there anything you want to plug before we let you go?
Oh, no, thank you very much. That's very kind. I appreciate that. No, nothing to plug individually, but just, yeah, like, obviously the Championship brings a lot of challenges, and one of those is obviously the reporting. You know, some reporters, get moved to Premier League clubs and whatnot, but the Daily Echo will always be covered in Southampton, as it has done for, however many years. So I'll be at every game this season, under-21s games as well. We'll be covering the women's. So, yeah, if you want to get the most in-depth Saints coverage available, apart from Alan Blackmore's Radio Solent, of course, then come to Daily Echo, come to me on Twitter.
Excellent. Again, Alfie, you've been amazing. Thank you so much.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure.
Thank you so much, Alfie.
Thanks for that. No worries. Thank you.
Stateside, and there's we follow local news and coverage over here stateside. So there's a small but vocal group over here. We're becoming pretty close knit. It doesn't matter where we're at in the U.S., Texas, Chicago. Here, there's a couple guys
awesome.
In Milwaukee. We're picking up steam here and there, and kind of making our own little cohort and group, and letting us know. And so I'll be over there in January for sure, and then I'll probably be over for May, the last weekend in Leeds. And actually, the job that I just took recently, their UK headquarters is in Leeds.
Oh, nice to have the idea. Yeah, it'd be great to meet both of you for sure. And when you're down, Tim, 100%.
Take care. Bye.
This is Klaus Lundekvam, and you are listening to In That Number.
Okay, then. Kevin is here. Kevin is in the house. How are you, Mush?
I'm grand. Yeah, I'm sorry that I couldn't be there for the big 200 that we recorded yesterday, but with Alfie House and co.
But you're here now. This is still episode 200, so...
Yeah.
I mean, I do hate to think of all the hours of recording and planning and editing and stuff that we've had to go through to get us here. So it is quite an achievement, really, 200 odd episodes. And I have to be honest, I didn't think we'd make that.
Yeah, and I think we deserve, anyone who's listened to all 200 episodes definitely deserves a prize.
I mean, I have, and I've edited all 200.
Yeah, that's true. You probably listened to them several times. Yeah. You deserve some big prize, I think.
There you go. So buymeacoffee.com. Get on it. Yeah, it'd be great. Yes, but yeah, we're here. And it's almost time for kickoff. Pre-season is done. The serious stuff can begin. And let's get ready for a roller coaster season once more, I guess. We're We're on to full coverage now. So how are you feeling about pre-season, Kevin?
I think roller coaster is the right word. I think that it's preparing us for a very up and down season. I think we're going to see a lot of goals compared to last season, but I think they're going to be at both ends of the pitch.
So if we can go from pre-season anyway, I mean, you take a look at that Reading game, that just had it all as well, didn't it?
So, mm-hmm.
But I think the general consensus is that it's the same as it was last season and the season before that, really. The goalkeeper situation isn't great. And there's a lot of possession, but not doing anything with it, which is kind of the problems that we had at the end of last, well, all season, really. I'm hoping that's not the issue. But
I disagree.
I mean, really? Because, I mean, if you look at the AZ Alkmaar game, I mean, we dominated possession. We limited them to two shots, and that was one of them went in, obviously. So I'm just worried that if we play like that against Championship teams, then we are going to dominate possession, and we're not going to be able to do anything for it. That's my worry, unless we, you know, get that elusive striker.
Do you not think that Shay Adams and Adam Armstrong and Mara, that's not a good enough lineup for the Championship?
I do, yeah. I mean, this is what we were talking with Alfie about, saying that we've got the goal. Well, Alfie said that the goals are there, because you look at Teller as well.
Yeah, in theory. Oh, in Teller, sure.
Yeah, but it's whether we can find that. Because, I mean, I asked him if we're gonna have to look to buy somebody else. And he said, well, I think we've got the goals in us. We just need to get them to do it. That's the only concern. And also you have to remember that some of these players might not be here by the end of the window. You mentioned Che Adams there. What happens if he goes to a Premier League club? That there's our top goal scorer potentially gone.
Yeah, I mean, I think in that case, just get a veteran goal scorer who's guaranteed.
The defence is a bit leaky still. As you said, that we're going to score a lot of goals, but we're going to concede a lot of goals. And if we're to believe that Salisu's off and Shaleta Sarr's off and Armel Belakotchap probably off, then we've got a huge hole there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see all three of them going. Is Lianco going to go or stay?
And Lianco, obviously, as well. That would just leave us, Stevens and Bednarik. And at the moment, he's happened to use Shea Charles at centre-back.
Yeah, I mean, do you not think that was just an experiment to see?
Well, I think Tim put it correctly, saying that he wanted minutes. He needs to be playing. And with James Ward-Prowse and Will Smallbone playing quite well, then, you know, that just shoehorn Che Charles into a position that we know he can play. Yeah, once we've got the futures of Lavia and James Ward-Prowse sorted, then I'm guessing he'll slot back into that defensive midfield role.
Again, do you see both of them going?
Yeah, I think it's likely, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all but absolutely certain that Lavia's going to leave this window. But we were so certain that James Ward-Prowse was going to be snapped up by some European football playing team from the Premier League. And it doesn't quite seem to materialise. Just a really insulting offer from West Ham that we shoved straight back. But
I think they're just testing the water. I think the bids will come. I mean, Jason Wilcox has said, and so has Russell Martin, they've said that we are going to go deep into the window. But yeah, actually, I will ask you, because I mean, I asked the other two, Alfie and Tim, I'm going to name a player and you're going to tell me whether they're still going to be a Saints player by the end of the window. So just a simple yes or no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So James Ward-Prowse.
Oh, Christ. More no than yes, but I'd say it's 60-40.
Well, that's not a simple yes or no. Okay.
I'll try and keep it simple from now on.
Okay, Romeo Lavia. No. Tino Livramento.
Yes.
Kyle Walker-Peters.
No.
Che Adams.
Yes.
Roman Perreault.
Yes.
Stuart Armstrong.
Yes.
Kamaldeen Sulemana.
No.
Mohamed Salisu.
No.
Carlos Alcaraz.
Yes.
Armel Belakotchap.
No.
Nathan Teller.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That was very, very, very similar to Alfie, which makes me think, did you sit in?
No.
That was pretty similar. So, yeah, okay. That's fine.
Sure, gut instincts.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted. So just just.
But with JWP, it's so much more complicated because he's such a valuable player and he's going to be so hard to replace.
But yeah, back to pre-season then in general. So the games, I mean, there was five games and we lost three of them and we drew one and we only won one. But I mean, there's two games where we failed to score. One of those was Benfica. And one of those was ours at Alkmaar. But, I mean, the Alkmaar game was... We deserved to win that game. We should have had a penalty. And
yes, yeah, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, but, you know, you limit them to one shot a half and you still come out losing, which is what I worry about for the Championship, really, if we can't find that cutting edge. But positives outweigh the negatives in pre-season?
Yeah, as I often say, everything's relative. So compared to last season, does it look like an improvement? I think it does. We've got a clear style of play that seems to work for us. We are scoring goals, which is something that we weren't doing at all last season. I mean, was it 7 goals that we scored? Yeah, we've conceded 9, but I think we've got to look at the positives. Against stronger opposition. So I think, yeah, Benfica be the strongest out of those. We didn't really stand a chance against them. So 2-0 is not a bad scoreline, I suppose. I'd say AZ probably about the same level as us as a team, and we gave them a good run for their money. Luck of the draw didn't really favour us then. And against Bournemouth, it was a fairly even match, I thought. It could have gone either way. So, yeah. I think it's a positive pre-season.
Yeah, and we got to see the likes of Sam Amayar come through. And
yeah, I think he's been definitely the highlight of the pre-season.
Yeah, we've seen Teller back, we've seen Smallbone back, we've seen Stevens back.
But, you know, Amamiya has been the surprise package. I didn't really expect him to be creating waves the way he has.
No, but that's good. It's good. And how have you felt about Russell Martin?
Yeah, on the whole, good. I mean, I'm going to reserve judgment for quite a while because, he needs to be given a chance, I think. But what we've seen so far has allayed some of the fears that I had.
Okay, now the difficult bit. One of the frustrations that I've had for a while now, and in this pre-season that doesn't seem to have got any better, is those goalkeepers. Both seem to be as bad as each other. A lot of hatred for Alex McCarthy over Gavin Bazunu, but in my opinion, Gavin Bazunu has been worse in pre-season than Alex McCarthy. I mean, he has been swapping them out. But Bazunu's played a little bit more than him in pre-season. Big issues. But that Reading game, when we were 4-1 up, and the goal at the end, I mean, that's a howler from Bazunu. There's just too many mistakes from him, I think. But
that Alkmaar goal as well. I mean, just a stronger hand to it, and it would have
come out. Yeah, I can see why people would call that a howler, but not as bad as that Reading one. That was just ridiculous. He kind of, like, jumped over the ball and helped it into the net. It's like he had a bet on.
Yeah, I mean, is it just his timing? If it had fallen, you know, a fraction of a second earlier, he would have just taken it in the belly.
Or just landed on the ball would be good. I mean, I know this is going to be an easy one, like who starts at Hillsborough, but where would you go if it were up to you?
To the transfer market. that's not what they're going to do, is it? I mean, we do still need another keeper. I mean, even as it stands, if you've got two sort of first choice keepers, we do need another. So Bycroft's not going to be not quite the level that we need.
Neither's McNamara. Neither's Bazunu.
Forgot about McNamara. Yeah, I suppose maybe that is an option to go with those four, but that is worrying. I think they've just gone all in with Bazunu, to be honest.
Yeah. And that's what's going to happen. Say he's young. He's a good shot stopper, but he just makes too many mistakes for me. And I've got no confidence in him at the moment. But on to the season ahead then, Kev. So I'm going to read the fixtures in August. And how many points are we going to get from these opening four games? So we've got Sheffield Wednesday away, Norwich at home, Plymouth away, QPR at home.
15 points.
You know, it's a maximum of 12, don't you?
Yeah, well, I always say that. 6.
Oh, okay. See, me and you are thinking, well, I said seven. Me and you are thinking the similar sort of like negative approach. But I think Tim and Alfie both said eight. So I think they said we'd win two and draw two. So which I will definitely take.
It would be, well, we're all back chop top of the table if that was to happen, I'm sure.
Wow, yes. And on to that game then, on to that Sheffield Wednesday game, which is Friday. It's less than a week away. Friday the 4th of August, 8 p.m. kickoff at Hillsborough. It's live on Sky Sports. And yeah, how do you see this game unfolding?
Wednesday are one of the weaker teams in the Championship, aren't they?
Yeah.
So we should be able to go there and get something. Are we going to be well drilled defensively? That's the question. Yes, I mean, for them it's a massive match from where they've come from. So yeah, their fans are going to be all over it.
Absolutely.
I'm expecting a win though.
Okay. Well, we'll do predictions then. Me and Tim have done ours off air, but I'll do mine because I'm up first. So I'm going for a 2-1 Saints win.
Okay. I mean, for the last few weeks I've been thinking that we're going to win 1-0. Watching back the pre-season friendlies has made me realise how leaky our defence is and made me think that it might be a higher score line. But I'm going to go back with my original gut feeling and say 1-0.
1-0 to the Saints.
Mm.
I can see that happening, to be honest. Tim's going for a 1-1 draw, by the way.
Okay. Anyone going for a loss?
I think Alex Haas has gone for a loss. I think he's going for 2-1 to Wednesday. I'll have to check that, but that was in the Discord, so I will check that. We'll do the over-under game.
Okay,
right. So, goals. How many goals are we going to score? Last season, we scored 36 goals, but of course that's the Premier League. The league winners were Burnley, and they scored 87. So I'm going to give you 65.
Oh, fuck. Under.
You're going to go under? Oh, dear. Mm. Okay. Goals against. Again, last season we were on 45 goals against, and Burnley in the Championship conceded 35. So what should we say? We'll say 45.
45?
Yeah.
Under.
Adam Armstrong goals. I gave it a pretty low, but it's difficult to judge this, right? Because, I mean, when Adam Armstrong, last time he was in the Championship, he was scoring for fun. He only scored 2 goals in the Premier League last season. He dropped down a division again, so you don't know where. I don't know how many games he's going to start. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, playing the lone striker, if he's going to be playing as what he has been playing under Ralph or Ruben Saez on the left. But I'm going to, I mean, I said 6, but Alfie was kind of like, it's going to be more than that, surely. So, I will give you 10.
Still more, yeah. Over.
You think more than 10?
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah,
Che Adams' goals, 15.
Oh, fuck if he's still here.
Mm.
Under.
Under 15. Oh, God, I hope not. Nathan Teller. Remember, he scored 17 last season for Burnley, so I'm going to say 12 this season.
Under.
Wins. Burnley had 29 last season. I'm going to give you 20. That's a tough one.
Under
20 wins. Christ, you got us finishing mid-table, Kev.
Yeah.
Points, then. So we had 25 points last season, obviously, but take into account the league drop. There's eight extra games. The average points last season, by the way, was 62. So I'm going to give you 68.
Under.
Jesus, really? I think 7th place got 68 points last season.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. Well, you did. You did actually in your predictions. You predicted us to finish 10th in the league.
Yeah.
So I guess that would kind of marry up. Yeah, Kev. So we are done for the pre-season now. That's it. The season can start for real now, and it's all go for Friday night. Are you going to be watching live?
Yeah.
Good. Good man. Yes. And then, of course, we will be recording on the Sunday, and we'll talk about the Wednesday game, and we'll preview both the Gillingham game and the Norwich games. So, yeah, it's all go from now on. So are you ready for this?
I'm going to have to be, aren't I? what are we going to say? Thick and fast, yeah.
Thick and fast, yeah.
Let's do it. A lot of games to go through.
Yeah, as always. But yes, my thanks to Alfie House for coming on, being a great sport and giving up his time. As always, Timber Zants, and you, Kevin, for having a little chat with me today. And yeah, so until next time, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Podcast Network.